to certain foods, like grains, you can substitute by adding servings of other foods, like vegetables, fats, or proteins instead. Here are the steps for adding food as you transition to maintenance. Step number 1, add 4 ounces of cooked grain to lunch. Step 2, increase breakfast grain to 1.5 servings. Step 3, add a second protein to breakfast. Step 4, add 4 ounces of cooked grain to dinner. And note, a typical female maintenance food plan would stop right here. Step number 5, add 1 fruit to dinner. Step number 6, increase lunch grain to 6 ounces. And step 7, increase dinner grain to 6 ounces. Step 8, increase breakfast grain to 2 servings. And note, a typical male maintenance food plan would stop right here. Step number 9, increase lunch vegetables to 8 ounces. Step 10, increase dinner fat to 2 servings. Step 11, increase lunch fat to 2 servings. Step 12, increase lunch grain to 8 ounces. Step 13, increase dinner grain to 8 ounces. Step 14, add 1 ounce of nuts to breakfast. Step 15, add 1 ounce nuts to lunch. And step 16, add 1 ounce nuts to dinner. And note, some athletes and especially active individuals really do eat this much or more. Adding back food. Here's what to expect based on the experiences of literally thousands of people. First of all, changing your food plan may scare you. You've been so committed for so long to eating a certain way that adding food may feel like you're doing something wrong. It might be super uncomfortable. You may feel resistance to going through with it. But at this transition point, adding in food means making a healthy choice for yourself. So lean into the online support community or your mastermind group and breathe through it. Second, you're likely to be terrified of gaining your weight back. This is also a completely natural response to changing things up after months of watching the weight pour off your body. As long as you continue to stick to your bright lines, that won't happen. You won't regain your lost weight. And finally, and this one might throw you off, your weight may actually indeed pop up right away when you add back food. But this is normal. Keep that food in and continue to be precise with your weighing and measuring. Within a week or two, if not sooner, your weight should come right back down to where it was. Then, after your body has stabilized with the additional food, you should start to lose weight again. That's when you add in the next element. Keep watching. If a week later you're still losing weight, add more food. If not, wait and watch. It's a process. Slow weight loss. You have it the easiest. Just stay on the weight loss food plan until you're actually at your goal weight. Then add one element of food. The table says that the first thing to add is 4 ounces of grain at lunch. But if you're typically hungrier before your lunch than you are before dinner, you may choose to increase your breakfast first. In which case, you could add steps number 2 and 3 first to get your breakfast up to your maintenance level. Remember to keep in mind what I said above. Your weight may pop up a bit. It's temporary. Just hold steady. Now, some people do live forever on the weight loss food plan because it just happens to equate to the right amount of food for their body. But if you've been losing weight and you're getting down to goal weight, that's probably not you. You're probably going to need to add at least a little something to stabilize. Medium weight loss. Add your first food element, either to lunch or breakfast, as I said before, when you're within 2 to 3 pounds of your goal weight. Then follow the directions for slow. When you've added enough elements to stop losing weight, you've found your maintenance plan. Fast and super fast weight loss. If your weight loss is fast, add your first element when you're 5 pounds from your goal weight. If it's super fast, add your first food when you're 10 pounds from your goal weight. Then follow the steps, as I said before. The dance of maintenance. Note that for many, if not most people, goal weight can fluctuate a bit, and living at maintenance is like a dance. Odds are you're not going to settle on one food plan and stick with it forever. Bodies change, metabolisms change, notions of what goal weight should be change, and you will probably need to add or take away food accordingly. Weighing yourself at least weekly during maintenance is recommended. You'll want and need that data to inform your journey. How you'll look. You may, as you get down to goal weight, look gaunt, especially around the face and neck. This often reverses after a few months at goal weight, even without gaining any weight back. Fast weight loss just seems to work that way. So set your family's expectations, reassure them that you're not doing anything unhealthy and that your rosy cheeks will return. Similarly, brace yourself for many of your friends, family, and acquaintances expressing concern about your weight loss. Expect them to make comments like, "You're not going to lose any more, are you?" They may say this when you still have 20 or even 50 pounds to go. Just smile, thank them for their concern, and then come share about it in the online support community. Somehow, the eyes of our society have gotten broken, and since it's a cultural anomaly for anyone to go from being heavy to truly slender, it just undoes people. Don't take on their freak out. You are fine. Bring it here to your Brightline Eating buddies. We get you. And after you've been at goal weight for a long time, people will relax. They just want to make sure you're not anorexic or aiming for 70 pounds. Skin. First, I must reassure you that not everyone winds up with loose skin. We have bright lifers who have lost over 100 pounds and their skin rebounded. Others have had loose skin, waited about a year to see what would happen, and then have decided to have it surgically removed. This isn't always covered by insurance, but sometimes it is. One woman, Sharon, got it covered because she was developing sores where the excess skin was rubbing, and her doctor successfully appealed on her behalf. Some also walk a path of acceptance. As we say, thank goodness for clothes. Which leads to the conversation about whether we'll actually be happy with our bodies at goal weight. In general, it's an emphatic yes. People tend to love what they look like after Brightline eating. But let's be real. Most bodies do not conform to the ideal pushed on us by airbrushed magazines and Photoshopped ads. We may have loose skin. We may have had children. We may simply be older. In my view, we need to develop and maintain a certain humility about our bodies as we age. We'll probably never look like bikini models, and that's okay. Our bodies are so much more than their appearance. And, accordingly, what Brightline eaters seem to revel in most of all is their rediscovered agility and vitality. Activities that they'd been barred from for years are now in play again, and lives that felt like they were foreshortening are opening up. And I have watched literally thousands of people become radiant with joy at their appearance. Both are true. Do I have to do this forever? Not that long after I gave birth to my third daughter, my older two were emerging from toddlerhood and reaching an age where I really started to have misgivings about weighing and measuring my food in front of them. I've taught psychology of eating classes. I'm familiar with the research that shows how mothers' neuroses about food get passed on to their daughters very easily. In my course, in the unit on feeding children, I taught Ellen Satter's Principles of Competent Eating. As I mentioned in Chapter 11, she believes that so long as you maintain the structure of only eating at mealtimes, you should give yourself permission to eat, with focus and respectful attention, whatever you want in whatever quantities you want. Permission is the key to competent eating, and anything else, according to her, qualifies as crazy neurotic. At that point, I'd been working the 12 steps for 18 years. I could safely say there were no unexamined issues left, no harbored emotions to eat over. My pond felt like there were no ripples in it. I remember saying the words, I can't even imagine hurting myself with food anymore. Why would I do that? I just wouldn't. So I decided to make a change. I took it very seriously. I set up support for myself. I got a coach and I made a list in my smartphone of 20 or 30 people who would support me in the endeavor. And with that, after 6 years of immaculate adherence to my food plan, I ate a brownie. I ate it mindfully. I took deep breaths. I savored every bite. It was delicious. I didn't want another one. I chalked it up as a win and walked out into the world to become a competent eater. What I found was that suddenly managing my food felt like a job again, and the job got more and more burdensome. My weight started to climb a little bit, which I expected, but I didn't want it to climb any higher. So now I was back in the game of having to control it, the mental game of, am I going to make an exception tonight? Am I going to eat less lunch because I'm going to have a bigger dinner? I need to make sure I exercise in the morning because I had more food yesterday. If I leave work and have cake and ice cream at lunch because that's really what I want, will I be able to stop there, or will permission turn one serving into five? It just became insane. And the insanity started to spiral wider. I had three little kids and a full-time job, and frankly, I didn't have time for it. My life rapidly became unmanageable. Pretty quickly, I realized that competent eating wouldn't work for me if I wasn't willing to get heavy again, which I simply wasn't. So I tried other things. I was doing research after all, so while I was at it, I tried every other approach I could think of to manage my eating and my weight. But my standards were very, very high. I knew I wanted to be happy, thin, and free, and I would settle for nothing less. But nothing worked. I could never recapture the freedom I had enjoyed for so long. And I most definitely was not being a better role model around food for my daughters. After about 11 weeks, 2.5 months, of very conscious, dedicated effort, I waved the white flag and gave myself the gift of following the bright lines again. What was going on in my brain during all of that? Given that the bright lines had allowed me to feel like I was living in the world as a 2 or a 3 on the susceptibility scale for many long years, why was I not able to continue being neutral around food when I abandoned the bright lines? Why did my susceptibility score immediately start to creep back up to 10, even though I wasn't eating to avoid inner issues or eating to numb myself from the burdens of life? The neurology here is that our daily behaviors form actual physical rivers in our brain called fiber tracks. Even if we later divert the neural energy in a new direction and form new fiber tracks, what we leave behind is like a dry riverbed. It never goes away. Our new habits divert the water to flow somewhere else, but it's possible for that water to revert back to its old course again. And that's what I found. The dry riverbed of my old food addiction was just there, waiting for me. I've said this before, but the point may hit home more poignantly now. This is the reason the susceptibility scale quiz asks you to think back to the time in your life when your eating was at its worst. That's when you formed your deepest riverbeds. You might have grown a lot and your eating habits might be much better now, but you're still physically susceptible to using those old channels. Your brain still sees them as eligible pathways. It's worth restating that my brain had gone very far down the path of addiction. There might be other people who've not had as intense an experience, and they probably rank as 3s or 5s on the susceptibility scale. So despite everything I've said here, you might decide to do your own experiment. One of my favorite sayings is that I never deny anyone their research. God knows I've had to do mine. Essentially, you've got two choices. Stick with the plan and enjoy your new life, or try the experiment of deviating from it and see what happens for yourself. In my experience, most people find that the benefits of living happy, thin, and free go away very quickly when they stop doing the things on a daily basis that got them happy, thin, and free in the first place. So, if you want to live happy, thin, and free, and not just subject yourself to another temporary weight loss success followed by demoralizing subsequent weight regain, you might just find, like me, that once you get to goal weight, you do indeed need to stay true to the daily habits that made it all hum and purr from the start. By then, that might actually sound like a pretty good deal.
Case study, Sharon M. Highest weight, 165 pounds. Current weight, 110 pounds. Height, 5 foot 3 inches. Ever since I was a child, I've suffered from being overweight. There are a few photographs of me as a happy child, but what I remember most is the sadness and isolation. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was trapped in a situation she couldn't contend with, and we children were caught in the middle. Food became a comfort, a friend, something to turn to when there was no one to talk to. My father also had real issues around sugar, so candy and sweets were a normal part of my young life. My earliest recollection of a binge was taking a box of frozen donuts from the freezer, hiding, and eating a few before I realized there was no way I could conceal the evidence of what I'd done. I was ashamed, but couldn't stop eating, even at 8 years old. My weight continued to rise as I grew. Kids, adults, and even teachers treated me differently because of it. No one saw me or gave me the attention a child needs for comfort or guidance. So food remained my solace, my go-to when I was angry, tired, bored, or sad. Hunger was not the cue for my eating. In fact, I seldom felt hungry, but I ate constantly because I had so much anxiety. As a teen, I made the diet rounds, Weight Watchers, Atkins, and pills, all before my 16th birthday. I had some success, but the issues of how to navigate the loneliness and how to maintain the weight loss were never addressed. As I got older, I was able to use exercise and regular dieting as a way to control my weight, but at 5'3" and a high of 165 pounds, I felt unattractive, masculine, and aging. I also had thinning hair. Many more diets followed. Overeaters Anonymous, Calorie King, Dr. McDougall's, and Whole Foods Plant-Based. I even consulted a nutritionist with a PhD and went on vitamins, shakes, and detoxing regimes. It drove me crazy. Why was I so driven to eat sugar and refined food? Why would I send my husband out for a food run at 7 p.m. when I was too tired to go myself? Why couldn't I solve this mystery? I'm intelligent. I have degrees in nursing and business management. I'm certified in nutritional counseling, and I teach yoga. Why couldn't I conquer this issue? Then, one summer, I took care of my grandchildren for a week. After eating a kid-friendly menu for so many days, I felt miserable. Flying home, I went into a sugar stupor. Then my husband and I stopped at a fast food restaurant for dinner before getting home to an empty refrigerator. That evening, tired from the trip and loaded up on refined food, I felt desperate. I prayed to God to help me, and that very same evening, in an email, a friend shared the Brightline Eating Friends and Family video with me and celebrated her recent success. I immediately Googled Brightline Eating and read everything I could find online. I realized it mirrored a 12-step food program, so I started the next day. No sugar, no flour, 3 meals a day, and measured quantities. Within just a few days, I started to sleep better and feel better. By the time the October boot camp started, I had already lost 20 pounds and questioned whether I even needed to sign up. But my BLE friend kept reassuring me that this was so much more than just a diet. That this program had the tools to help me achieve meaningful and long-lasting change. And wasn't that what I really needed? Not just another diet, but tools for life, and perhaps even the dream of weight maintenance. My weight loss was not fast, but it held steady at an average of 4.5 pounds a month. I weigh 110 pounds now, and feel totally comfortable with the maintenance program and my goal weight range. I have committed to be on the Brightline eating plan for the remainder of my life, one day at a time. I no longer eat sugar or flour and actually don't really desire or want it. This program is enough for me. My hair is healthier, my skin is clearer, and my nails are stronger. I feel giddy when I see myself in size 4 or 6 clothing, and now I can even wear a belt. I know my brain is healing because my long-standing anger and depression issues are lifting. I've had melancholy and anxiety my whole life, so I just assumed I was wired that way. Now my mood is even and high, and I feel real joy each day. I sleep 6 or 7 hours a night and awake rested most mornings. My long-standing hip and toe pain is mostly gone. My yoga practice is deeper as my muscles have lengthened even more. My energy level is getting better all the time. I have embraced this program with 2 strong arms. I don't question it. I just follow it. It has been my lifeline, and I know that it is the answer for me, one day at a time.
Chapter 15. Conclusion. Living happy, thin, and free. The best thing, in my experience, about living happy, thin, and free is that it's not so much a state of body as a state of mind. I find that many of my boot campers report feeling happy, thin, and free long before they reach goal weight. This powerful new state of mind occurs because a distinct transformation happens in the brain when we do Brightline eating, and in this last chapter, I want to give you a sense of that magic. Happy. We scientists are just starting to learn the scope of how eating well affects the brain. But you won't need science to tell you. You will feel it. You'll simply start to feel happier, better, brighter, bounce out of bed good. The doldrums will lift and you'll have a sense that life is finally working for you. In fact, many people find that they no longer need antidepressants or other forms of psychiatric medication after they've been doing Brightline eating for a while. Of course, work with your doctors. Nothing in this book should be taken as medical advice. Some people absolutely need to stay on their medication. But in my experience, many, perhaps a majority, end up weaning off successfully. Why does this happen? There are at least 4 reasons. The first is that eating little to no processed foods leads to a better mood. Sugar, in particular, is a known depressant. The second is that eating lots of fruits and vegetables is correlated with high mood and low levels of anxiety and depression. In studies, teenagers who ate vegetables for one day reported feeling happy immediately afterward. Adults who eat vegetables every day have less depression and anxiety than those who eat them less frequently, and increasing the number of servings of fruits and vegetables makes them correspondingly happier. Third, achieving the right balance of omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acids in our diet increases happiness and lowers depression. Your brain is about 60% fat, and these essential fatty acids are the most critical molecules for determining its ability to function, perform, and heal. Critically, omega-6s should outweigh omega-3s at a ratio no higher than 5-to-1, but ideally 2-to-1 or even 1-to-1. Omega-6 has become increasingly prevalent in the standard American diet because soybean oil and other vegetable oils have crept into everything. Packaged foods like crackers, cookies, chips, salad dressing, and mayonnaise are pumping us with omega-6 fatty acids at levels that are beyond our capacity to manage. These days, most people's ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 is an appalling 15-to-1 or even 25-to-1. But when we stop eating packaged foods, voila! We lower our omega-6 consumption dramatically, and that brings our ratio into balance, which leads to enhanced mood. If you want to facilitate this process, eat things like wild-caught salmon, chia seeds, and flax seeds, which are loaded with omega-3s. But honestly, just eliminating all sugar and flour will do the bulk of the work for you. Last, the good food that we're consuming in Brightline eating, like blueberries, kale, and fruits and vegetables in general, not to mention chewing our food rather than simply gulping down soft calories, increases a precious and super important process called neurogenesis, the formation of new neurons in the brain, which research shows increases serotonin and improves mood. Thin. The most important thing I have to say about getting thin, which might surprise you given how much I sing the praises of losing weight, is that I think being thin without being happy and free is totally useless. I know that so many of us just want to get thin. But thin doesn't necessarily mean well, as there are many ways to get thin, like taking methamphetamines or getting sick, that are not what we want at all. Thin, however, does feel amazing when it's done the right way and when it's paired with happy and free. When your slender body is earned and you watch yourself nurture and love yourself with the food you put in your mouth each and every day, it feels really, really good. One of the reasons Brightline Eating works so well to keep you thin for life is that it sets a bar, and then the bar doesn't move. The expected behaviors are clearly defined, and they don't change. There's no fooling yourself about whether you're doing them or not. Once you've lived a Brightline life for even a few days, you have a formula that you know works. After you reach your goal weight, if a couple of pounds creep back on, you can take a quick inventory, see where you're off track, and make the necessary adjustments. For me, after so many years of pouring all my effort into losing weight and never getting anywhere close to goal, suddenly being thin and staying thin felt like a fairy godmother had waved a magic wand and turned me into Cinderella on the night of the ball. It was pure heaven. And in many ways, it still is. There are so many good things about being thin. Clothes not only fit, they look good. Even jeans. Even swimsuits. I no longer have to stash perfectly good clothes in the back of the closet because I've outgrown them. Now I wear my favorites for years until they wear out. I love going to the pool with my kids and feeling confident. I love getting dressed up for special occasions, putting on something form-fitting, and knowing that I look lovely. I love being able to touch my toes and tie my shoes without strain or help. I love being able to roll around on the floor with my kids and hug my knees up to my chest. I love that when I make the time to lift weights, the results show up right away because there are no layers of fat hiding my muscles. I love feeling like my outsides match how I feel on the inside. I love just showing up in a right-sized body to greet the world. Or going to a job interview or an event and not worrying about what I look like or whether I'll be judged negatively because of my size. I love standing next to my husband, meeting his friends and his colleagues, and not worrying that my appearance reflects poorly on him. And I love not having to think about losing weight, so I'm freed up to do what I'm meant to do in this world. And that brings us to free. Sometimes, someone who ranks super low on the susceptibility scale will ask me, "What does the free mean?" When that happens, I momentarily want to trade brains with them. It means freedom from food obsession. Freedom from thinking about your weight. Freedom from having a running conversation in your head about what you ate, what that means about what kind of person you are, what you're going to eat, what that will mean about what kind of person you are, that exhausting, endless loop of food shame and food plans. We cannot underestimate how much space the conversation about our weight has been taking up in our brains. It is literally a waste of our lives. I have so many wonderful, challenging things to think about and focus on, from my work, to my marriage, to my friends, to my kids. I know you do too. I don't want to spend another second of my life using my brain space to make trades, make deals, make plans, and run the numbers, run the numbers, run the numbers, Whether those numbers are pounds, calories, or miles, it's a toxic conversation, and it ends here. Another huge benefit of adopting the habits of Brightline eating is that you'll become more resistant to willpower depletion. Your initial willpower won't get stronger, but your brain will get stronger at functioning even when confronted with all the things that deplete it. And what's awesome about that is that your newfound strength will spill over into all kinds of other areas of your life. You'll do laundry more often, quit smoking, find that you don't want or need caffeine anymore, that you don't procrastinate as much, and that your closets are suddenly clean. Research bears this out, and I see it again and again in the boot camps. With your excess weight gone, your life in order, and your other pesky bad habits falling away, you'll step into a new reality. Lighter, freer. You'll have time on your hands, space in your brain, and amazing new avenues of purpose and meaning will open up for you. You'll be the best version of yourself, able to pursue the most cherished and long ago abandoned longings of your heart. And that, my friend, is the purpose of Brightline Eating, to unleash the human potential that's trapped underneath the excess weight that plagues 2 billion people on this planet. The future of sustainable weight loss. The goal of Brightline Eating is to become known as, and to be scientifically proven to be, the most effective weight loss program in the world. But that requires long-term data. We are now tracking our graduates, and we can't wait to see where they are 10 years and 20 years out. The data we have now are based on relatively small, self-selected samples because we only have information from people who filled out our online surveys. Hence, the numbers I'm about to present can't be extrapolated to the population at large. That said, what we're already witnessing is different in dramatic ways from the typical results of other programs. A study covering Weight Watchers and another study using prepared meals supplied for free by Jenny Craig showed that after 2 years on their programs, people had net losses of about 8 or 9% of their starting weights. For example, a subject who started at 160 pounds would lose 14 pounds total over 2 years. In contrast, during a typical 2-month Brightline Eating bootcamp, survey respondents have lost on average 10% of their starting weight, or 19 pounds. That's more weight 12 times faster. And this average includes those who join the bootcamp to manage an eating disorder and gain weight. After the bootcamp ends, 87% of respondents maintain their weight loss or continue to lose weight. Within 1 year, 28% are at goal weight and many more are still losing. At goal weight, on average, the group has lost 25% of their starting weights. So for someone who starts at 160 pounds, they lose on average 40 pounds. Many, of course, lose much more. Of those at goal weight so far, 84% are maintaining it. 84%. I'd love to tell you how much higher that is than other programs, but I can't, because there is no other eating program on the planet that has a cohort of people reaching an ideal weight and then maintaining it. Here's what our research shows. The people who are successful are those who are committed to keeping sugar and flour out of their system. The people who use all the tools of Brightline Eating stay on track. Now, as I've said before, I am not the Brightline Eating police. I will not come to your house to check whether you're writing down your food or using your nightly checklist sheet. But the data are clear. Those who commit to doing the program as it is laid out heal their brains and move on in right-sized bodies like no other group of dieters. The future of weight loss research. I am super excited that Brightline Eating works and that thousands are experiencing the profound transformation that has meant so much to me in my life. But we have just begun. And the big, broad vision is to dramatically, I mean dramatically, change the future of obesity, weight loss, nutrition, and health the world over. To move the dial, push the envelope, change the narrative forever. By 2040, I want to see 1 million people living at goal weight with Brightline Eating. That's our Everest goal. And, scientist that I am, here's what I know. It's going to take research. We've got to prove that Brightline Eating works over decades, study the factors that are most crucial for its success, advocate for insurance in the United States, including Medicare and Medicaid, to cover the boot camp so the poorest and hardest hit can have full access to all the tools, and incorporate new technological innovations as they become available. We're already doing research at Brightline Eating and partnering with academics and other groups. And the nonprofit research foundation I co-founded, the Institute for Sustainable Weight Loss, is looking to collaborate with scientists around the world to answer the next phase of questions, including the following. Long-term weight loss and associated health outcomes. How many people are able to stick to Brightline Eating over the long term? How many people stay at goal weight indefinitely? What's the impact on their psychiatric medication prescriptions, their blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes? Neurobiology of addiction. How long does it take for the dopamine receptors in the nucleus accumbens to replenish after people stop eating sugar and flour? Why does bread scratch the itch in some brains while candy does the trick for others? Why are peanut butter and bacon common binge foods if they don't contain sugar or flour? How does the susceptibility scale play into all of this? Do the brains of thin people who are high on the susceptibility scale look like the brains of obese people? Nutrition and weight loss. How do fat and animal protein affect health and weight loss? Right now, most people who eat a lot of animal protein also eat sugar and flour, as do most vegans. I'd like to look at omnivore versus vegan bright lifers over the long term and see if, when sugar and flour are taken out of the equation and the diet includes lots of vegetables, small amounts of meat, dairy, and fat have less of a health impact. Joy. I never could have imagined, when I lumbered around UC Berkeley with marshmallows in my pocket, that I would ever be someone who feels good in a bikini. That I would spend all of my 30s feeling energetic and unencumbered in my body and move into my 40s feeling the same way. Happy, productive, and on track. I am so grateful that I discovered a way of eating that catapulted me into this new dimension of living, and that I was able to piece together the science to explain to myself and to thousands of others why? Honestly, the emergence and growth of this Brightline Eating movement feels like a miracle to me. A miracle as big or bigger than the personal weight loss transformation I experienced myself well over a decade ago, which started this whole thing. As I write this final section of the book, in the dark, past midnight, in the passenger seat of a Ford F-150 pickup truck as my husband drives and our three little kids sleep in the back on a road trip across the United States, I am flabbergasted. Thanks to the power of the internet, in a relatively short period of time, with just an email list, a weekly blog, and a simple 2-month online course, thousands of people from over 75 countries around the world have collectively lost over 300,000 pounds. And just over a year ago, those numbers were 50 countries and 100,000 pounds. We are mushrooming incredibly rapidly. At every moment of the day, we are online supporting each other, loving each other, and feeling connected. Every dimension of joy, celebration, and freedom is being shared among us. And I have no doubt the best is yet to come. Wherever you are today reading this, however long into the future, however you feel in your heart right now, however tired you are of the struggle and the disappointment, I want to leave you with hope. You are not alone. There is a way out. There is a roadmap, and it works. I'm going to end by asking you to visualize yourself in the not-too-distant future, having committed to Brightline eating and having lost all of your excess weight. For real, close your eyes and go there. Imagine waking up in the morning, feeling grateful to be alive and feeling simply wonderful. Your 2 feet hit the floor and you stretch. Your arms fall down along your sides and your elbows tuck in, feeling the narrowness of your torso. There's no pain in any of your joints. You bend over, your hands touch your toes, and you bounce there for a while, feeling light and nimble. You're confident. You know you're aging as well as you possibly can and taking great care of your health. Your mood is high and stable. You walk over to your closet. All the clothes are the same size, and they all fit, every last item. You know that when you get dressed, you'll look and feel great. You're a walking billboard. People often ask, "How are you so joyful?" Every day is just like this. You feel excited to greet the world and bask in the pride of friends and family. You've found a host of new friends on this Brightline eating journey, and your world is expansive and endlessly enriched. You're excited about the new projects you've started, your new direction in life. There are no barriers. You are the person you always knew you could be. This is you, feeling unstoppable. This is you, happy, thin, and free. It's not just a tagline. It's a way of life. Resources. Sample nightly checklist sheet. At book.brightlineeating.com, you can download a version of the nightly checklist sheet that you can then modify yourself. Or, at that same website, you can download the Brightline Eating Daily Companion, which has the most powerful, interactive nightly checklist available. Nightly checklist sheet. Each evening, check your status on these points and tick off the box if you've completed the task. I committed my food for the day. I asked for strength to have a Brightline day. I weighed myself just once, and the change was, I made my bed. I read something spiritual or uplifting. I meditated for blank minutes. I used my Brightline Eating Daily Companion. I wrote down what I will be eating tomorrow in my food journal. I wrote in my gratitude journal. I wrote in my 5-year journal. I'm getting to bed in time to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I stuck to my Brightlines today, and it was day number blank. Permission to be human action plan. Learning to live happy, thin, and free is a process. There is no perfect straight line to success. It's a journey. And every journey has steep uphills, gentle downhills, and nice stretches of flat land. There are gorgeous vistas and horrible storms. You'll get blisters. You'll see sunrises. You'll go until you don't think you can take one more step. And then you'll go some more. Pretty soon, you'll be a seasoned trekker. One thing that can derail us is thinking that we must be perfect. There is no perfect, but there is genuine progress. This Permission to Be Human action plan is offered with love as a roadmap to follow in the event that you find yourself on the other side of the bright lines and you want to get back on track. Ask yourself these questions. 1. What was the situation? What happened? 2. What led up to it? How had I been feeling? 3. What sabotaging thoughts did I have right before I picked up the bite? 4. How do I feel now that I've crossed the bright lines? 5. Did I write down my food last night? 6. Have I been using my nightly checklist sheet and other tools? 7. Did I take any actions to protect my bright lines before eating? 8. What could I do differently next time? 9. What have I learned? 10. What action can I commit to taking right now that will support me in my bright line eating journey? Acknowledgements. I expect my editor will tell me my acknowledgements are too long, but I don't care. If the book can be hundreds of pages, surely more than one or two can be spared to express the depth of gratitude I feel for all who have contributed in ways both momentous and momentary to this extraordinary thing called bright line eating. It is, after all, more than a book. It is a movement. So I must thank. First, the bright line eaters themselves, the founders, the ones who signed up at the beginning. Thank you for taking the plunge. I'm so grateful for your trust in me and so impressed by the willingness, fervor, and devotion with which you've learned this way of life, applied it, and used it to break free. You are the reason my feet hit the floor every morning. My precious bright lifers, who've chosen to stay close to the mothership after the boot camp ends. It takes my breath away how much love and support you pour into our community and into my heart. When I struggle, I bring it to you and you carry me. Thank you for letting me be human. I am humbled that I get to be a bright lifer with you and beyond privileged to coach you in the ongoing magical dance of maintenance. The tribe, the hundreds of thousands of people who have taken the susceptibility quiz, read the free report, signed up for updates from the Bright Line Eating email list, tried the 14-day challenge, enrolled in the boot camp, journeyed through Bright Line Healing, attended the annual Bright Line Eating family reunion, watched the weekly vlogs, left comments, sent in feedback, and spread the word. Thank you for being on board, for being brilliant, and for showing me so much love. My magnificent Mavens Mastermind Group, Lyndon Morris Del Rio, Marianne Marsh, and Kathy Cox. Thank you so much for the depth and constancy of your support and unconditional love. We have created something truly extraordinary out of our 90-minute haven each week. I could not do what I do on any level without you. My incredible team here at Brightline Eating. Incredible. Mind-blowingly, shout it from the rooftops, incredible. Online entrepreneurs are always griping about their issues with their team. Yeah, not me. Having a team is the best part, not the hardest part. The dedication, ownership, passion, loyalty, creativity, consistency, and brilliance you all bring to our mission blows me away every single day. When I started this, I never imagined having one employee, let alone dozens. But you have become, in many ways, the focal point of my life. There are no words to express how much you mean to me. I am committed to striving to make Brightline Eating the best place to work on earth until I drop for you. Stephen Gomez, Chris Davis, Julia Harold, Jen Moon, Lyndon Morris Del Rio, Marianne Marsh, Tracy Stroh, Darcy Shepard, Nancy Wolf, Chris Fody, David Lewis, Simone Sims, Molly Larkin, Ariana Hillis, Lynn Colston, Crystal Gomez, Caitlin Moon, Bill Wilson, Nadia Bryanese, Malachi Ward, Benjamin Schaefer, Jeff Pearson, and Lori Lang, I bow before you in gratitude. Can you believe what we've created together and how much friggin' fun it's been? I love you so much, I can't stand it. And to all the future Brightline Eating team members, know that I welcome you, I love you, and I'm so grateful you've chosen to add your brilliance to the mix. The best is yet to come. Our phenomenal house leaders and VIP posters, you make our online support community extraordinary, a haven for profound healing and transformation. You channel and embody the love we stand for here at Brightline Eating and bring the care and acceptance that are so critical to our boot campers' success. Michelle Ellsbury, a hug and a sweet thank you for your important service. And Johannes Bockwalt of Take On Film Productions, thank you for bringing the Food Freedom videos to life. The luminaries who mentored this academic and helped her build a platform for her ideas. Jeff Walker, I'm so very lucky that Product Launch Formula appeared right when I was searching online for a roadmap and that I somehow knew to just keep my head down and follow it. Thank you for staying true to your calling and, by extension, impacting all the people who now get to hear about Brightline Eating who wouldn't have otherwise. I'm grateful for the blessing of being in your Platinum Plus Mastermind group with some of the most huge-hearted, brilliant, fun, generous people out there, and I pinch myself every day that this is the company I get to keep. Ryan Eliason, yours was the first online course I ever took, and it laid the foundation strong and true. You taught me how to have a business plan and a success plan, and that being in business doesn't have to be incongruous with changing the world. I'll never forget the day you told me that I wasn't building a business, I was starting a movement. It was a light bulb moment. Sage Levine, I feel so lucky to be soul sisters with you on this improbable, fantastical journey of feminine entrepreneurship. Thank you for teaching me what it takes to be a leader. Your example of self-care, conscious life crafting, and dedicated service illumines a path for me and so many others to follow. Spring cleaning with you is the antidote to every difficulty. Justin Livingston, the playful genius. I will forever strive to be in the room when you speak. You had my back right from the beginning. Your Leap Mastermind is a rare and powerful resource. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. Thank you for thinking as deeply as you do about the things that really matter. Annie Pratt, you are a leadership mentor extraordinaire. Your wisdom informs what we do here at Brightline Eating Solutions, LLC, on every level. You taught me how to organize my business, how to create a psychologically safe environment where everyone feels like they can surface challenging issues, and how to let my leaders shine. Our entire team is so enriched by your experienced guidance. Thank you for being glorious you. My coaches, Clive Prout and Monica Leggett. Clive, you've watched my food journey nearly from the beginning, and your steady, gentle questioning cuts to the heart of every matter. Thank you for calling me to a higher standard of life crafting. You are the person by whom I most enjoy being heard. Monica, I would not have weathered this crazy storm without you. We've been through the whole improbable arc together, and somehow one conversation with you can take the most intractable jumble of commitments and lay them out straight and smooth and ready to be conquered. My affiliate partners, you are so badass, so brilliant, and up to such amazing stuff in this world. I get to share your awesomeness with my tribe, and you share about Brightline Eating with yours, and together we make the world a better place. You believed in me right from the beginning. Thank you for that. We would not have been able to get the word out without each and every one of you. And then the Robbins family. I mean, really, where do I begin? Ocean Robbins, you astound me with your integrity, wisdom, insight, and fair-mindedness. I trust you as much as I trust anyone on this earth. It's unbelievable what an amazing person you are. What a visionary leader. And what a good friend. Thank you for plucking me out of obscurity and offering your incomparable partnership and mentorship on this journey. And John, the budding connection we have is a bright light in my life. Thank you for writing a beautiful foreword for this book and placing the Bright Line Eating movement in the historical context of the entire food revolution, for which you have been and continue to be such a pivotal leader. I love you and Deo and Michelle, and feel grateful to have been welcomed into your family so lovingly. Lucinda Blumenfeld, my agent extraordinaire, you are not only a phenomenal, super skilled agent, but also a friend and such a lady. You always make me smile. I'm so grateful to have you in my corner, and as a first-time author, I have to say, it's just such a treat to adore your agent so much. I pinch myself. Patty Gift, thank you for watching my food freedom videos, and thank you for loving them. Thank you for believing in me and in this project. Learning that you wanted not only for Hay House to publish my book, but to edit it yourself was one of the peak moments of my life. And you are such a delight to work with. How could I not adore you? Reed Tracy, Sally Mason Swab, and all the folks at Hay House, I have so much respect for the culture of your company and what you're up to in the world, publishing books that really matter, books that change people's lives. Reed, thank you for always having my back, for real, and for being a gentleman and wise mentor. The other publishing companies fail to follow your lead in the online marketing space at their peril. You have got it going on over at Hay House. Cinzia DeMonte, you drew the most haunting, beautiful illustrations for this book. The first time I saw your art, my jaw dropped and my heart melted. This book sits differently in one's hands because of the quality and care of your drawings. Thank you. The 13 people who volunteered to proofread the book, or portions of the book, at critical junctures. Karen Van Meenen, Janine DeVillier, Julia Galbus, Ginny Freyer, Joseph Fleischman, my dad, Eileen Lass, Sharon Cheek, Sunny St. Pierre, Jackie Montara, Chris Davis, Chris Foti, Benjamin Schaefer, and Jen Moon. You caught so many typos, it makes me shudder. Thank you for your generous service and sharp eyes. And now, the two people without whom this book absolutely, positively could not, would not exist, at least not in this decade. Dr. Nathan Dankin and Nicola Krause. Nat, you chased down hundreds upon hundreds of references for studies I'd heard described at some conference years ago, or statistics I'd been bandying about at dinner parties whose source I couldn't rightly recall. Thank you for your prodigious efforts and for your protective spirit. You chose to dedicate a huge chunk of your life to making sure that every word is true, factual, and substantiated. I cannot express my gratitude. And lovely Marilyn, thank you for loaning him to me for this project. Your sacrifice has not gone unnoticed. Nicola Krause, your partnership in the creation of this work has been unparalleled. I'm so glad I was tipped off, thank you, Lucinda, that with my schedule, I should bring you on as my writing coach, and so much more. What we have created here, thanks to you, is exactly, precisely, what I'd hoped it would be. I will remember, to my dying day, cozying up in your Brooklyn office, side by side, to map out the sections and paragraphs of this book. Thank you for the breakfast apples and the toasted pecans, for the disco ball ceiling light in your guest bedroom, and for your endless hospitality, grace, service, wit, optimism, wise counsel, and thoughtful gifts. You are a dream. And David and Sophie, thanks for lending Mom to this project. It really wouldn't have happened without her. Ashley Bernardi, because of Ron Friedman, I already knew you were a PR rockstar goddess, but what I didn't expect was what an amazing friend you would turn out to be and how you would hold my hand for every TV appearance. I adore you. Sharon Bialy from Book Savvy PR, you are an incredible addition to our PR team, and I feel so excited and blessed that I found you and that you and Ashley work so well together. Thank you both for getting the word out to everyone who needs this information. None of this hard work matters if no one hears about it. Michael Drew from Promotebook. So excited to be working with you on this project and trusting in your help and guidance to get this book into as many hands as possible. It's been great getting to meet you and getting to know you as